Matthew 18, beginning in verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. I would remind you that oftentimes we as believers quote that last part of the verse, not realizing that it's concerning sinning against a brother. It's really about church discipline. That verse can fit in many other places, but we need to remember where it was used initially here by the Holy Spirit through Matthew. But let us pray over these words. Lord God, help us to hear once again those words that have somewhat become familiar to us as believers, at least a little familiar to many of us. Not that we want to hear them, not that we want to have to deal with things that are under the hood there, but yet we are a people in great need. Even those of us who have received your salvation, Lord, constantly in need of correction. The church itself, Lord, in need of correction. This local church in need of correction. All of us individually in need of your correction and your advice, your holiness covering us. So we must attend to the words as needed, as necessary, as often as is necessary. For the glory of you, O God, we pray. Amen. Today is a different day for us. And I know this is, you didn't know that. You obviously know that it's a different day because it's different than yesterday. It's different from the last week, those kinds of things. But it, as you have seen and where I've headed in Scripture, I will address some things in the body. And for those of you who are visiting with us, you may find this strange, but I would say to that, hear it out as someone who is reading through the Scriptures the first time and you find out about Ananias and Sapphira and you say, what in the world is that all about? Or any other place that you might go in Scripture for an example of doing church together. I wouldn't have wanted to been in the near proximity of the church of that day when that happened, because God was teaching a very hard lesson in a very hard way. Ananias and Sapphira. That is not what I'm attempting to do today. However, I'm addressing an issue on a Sunday morning because that's when the majority of our folks are here. You know, and COVID has interrupted that to some degree, but the truth is Sunday morning is when we have the saints gathered. So I'm not making apologies for everyone who may be visiting. I have no idea, but I think you will understand the thrust of where we are as a little church here in Juneau, Alaska, but as a part of the larger body of Christ and trying to do his will and walk through the Scripture and actually be attentive to his word and pay attention. So some of what I have to say today will go back in time a little. But there's joy here. There's rebuke here, but there's joy. There's sadness, there's happiness. But there is, in all of this, a challenge from our God to be as diligent as we can be, as we can understand about his word. To do as the writer of Proverbs says, to lean not on our own understanding, but to lean upon our Savior. So I speak to you today as a witness in Jesus Christ and to his love and the love of his word, and also on behalf of a dear brother in Christ, Reuben Lumbob. And I believe that this morning's message is extremely important in the life of the fellowship of this body of believers. And in regard to that, there are many of our people missing this morning. They're not missing. They're on vacation. They're traveling. They're working. as any other Sunday, and I didn't have the opportunity to pick which Sunday I would do this. Holy Spirit put this together. And I'm just asking you to pray with me as I go, that I will listen to him and not listen to myself. Just needs to be totally from the Holy Spirit of God. So why I say that there are people not here, not present, there are people not present, it doesn't matter who they are, that still need to hear today's message. So I'm encouraging you as a body of believers to remind everyone that once technology works as it should, and once I get this recorded and online, the words, the sermon, the message, all right there. Help others to hear what has been said so that we don't walk in miscommunication. I've been guilty of not leading you clear enough in the past. I don't want that to be the case. But if it is, I plead with God to help us all to walk in his word still and to continue to do that. Okay. So I have been longing for several months now to have the opportunity to share with you with what I'm about to share with you. And a portion of this sharing probably would be much better accomplished if Reuben and his family were present with us this morning. However, both Reuben and I strongly believe that the Bible teaches us to be in fellowship with our local congregation whenever possible. And that said, he and I have recently had a meeting face to face and agreed that it would be much better for him to be in worship with his family in his local congregation where their membership now lies than coming to us on the Lord's Day. But he has given me a letter that is written to us, this body. And I will read that in its entirety after I do a little more housekeeping here to help us understand why. And I would say with that, may the Lord bless and convict us with Reuben's words. Since early December of 2021, Reuben and his family have been worshiping with another body of believers right here in Juneau. Prior to that, as many of you know, four of the five Lumbobs had been covenanted members here in this body. For myself, it had been a real time of real joy in Jesus Christ because I first got to watch Reuben receive Christ and Rachel. And Rhonda was with me when that took place as well. Receive Jesus as Lord in their home. And then to see Rashan and Kel follow later on, receiving Christ as their Savior and Lord. So many of you also witnessed the continued spiritual growth and the maturity as evidenced in the family over the past couple of years, even more than that. That can only be attributed to God himself. And throughout last summer and into the fall, Reuben was personally battling a sin issue in his own life that became more and more visible to some of you in his general demeanor. How do I mean that? Well, he used to stand right here, helping to lead vocals in worship week after week. And for those of you who have it's discernment. And you see an expression on the face that doesn't look like normal. And some of you saw that. Some of you tried to help in that regard. You saw that. And more than one of our church leaders, including myself, approached Reuben on multiple occasions to offer biblical guidance. And each of us who did so sensed the definite hardness in Reuben regarding his sin. I would go on to say that it was just regarding that one particular thing. If you weren't asking about that, he was engaging as any other Christian should engage with about everything he did. So don't read that any differently than that. But that was an issue. And this past December, Reuben indicated to me that to me and one other member of this body that he had owned his sin before God and all was well again. He did indicate that. But unfortunately, the very next day, he called me on the phone and said that he and his family would now be going to another church locally. I immediately appealed to him that such action, while certainly proper within the bounds of a Christian living a Christian life in a local town, certainly a proper thing to do, but not in line with a biblical understanding of living out one's repentance and reconciliation within the visible family of God, specifically those with whom you have covenanted with as church family. I will read to you from Colossians 3. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In a nutshell, the gathered church is to witness repentance and reconciliation. It is visible evidence that repentance and reconciliation are real in a person's life. Now, you might say, I didn't even know what was going on, Pastor. You did that thing in February at the Lord's table where we talked about this and you said a few things and I disagreed. And I would just say to you, I haven't heard from you in that amount of time. If you disagree, you need to come talk to me. We need to work through it. If I'm wrong, then I need to repent before a holy God. It was a hard time for many of you. I understand that part. The truth is, when things go on in a body that become more than just between two persons, it has to be according to God's word. And what went on in Reuben's life was known to more than just Reuben and one other person or one other family. It was known to more than that. And so that made it a church-wide issue, even though not all of you know all details. I don't even know all details. We will never know all the details, but we have to process through God's established plan, his way. And even saying all that, it sounds like I'm making an appeal to you to believe exactly what I say. I am going to stand with Paul, who continually is telling the Corinthians, as we're walking through Corinthians, you well know this. He has to tell them that God has given him that authority. He didn't ask for it. He didn't want it, but he has to exercise it. And so I'm in that same position. I'm not Paul. I'm not saying that, but I've been given certain authority that I have to exercise. And this is really what it is. It's living it out like that. Ephesians 3:10 tells us so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Again, the witness of a church being obedient to God's word, even in the hard times. They've got to see that. I had no problem. Reuben had told me before in the summer, last summer, that things were very hard. He couldn't define it to me, but it was hard enough that he said, we might consider having to go to another church. And I said, that's good and fine if God leads you, but you need to be clear of anything here between people and yourself, or you need to be able to worship in the strength of a holy God in pure form. You need to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper. He admitted to me that he hadn't been able to right up until the time he left. So there were more things that many of you did not know that still there's a lot more out there, but it's not against Reuben. It's just this is how we walk through what the church must do. And the evidence did not show for those of us in this local body. So, as I've already said, these past few months have presented humongous, that's probably not even a good word for that, but just tremendous spiritual struggles, especially in the lives of some of you who have family, children in your family who knew children in his family. And this is small town America, and we do things together. And this is just what we do. And this is, it doesn't have to be in America. It's just God has designed families to get together and do things together. And he's designed the church family to do that. In early February of this year, I came before you as a church body and said that while we were in absolutely no way going to shun Reuben and his family, the word of God in Matthew 18 and 1 Corinthians 5, as they do apply, do not give us freedom to fellowship with them. That's the hard part. It's not there. And as I said, Reuben and his family didn't stop trying to reach out to people in this church. I know that's true. And that's not a bad thing that he did that. But the part that he wasn't hearing was he needed to show the church family that all was well. And it's an abrupt departure did not show that. So very heavy on my heart, very heavy on the parts of those who are in leadership who addressed this with him or tried to address this with him. I'm telling you, there's great joy coming. So please hear me out. I must read this passage, even though, again, it's going to be hard to hear. I wrote to you in my letter. This is 1 Corinthians 5:9. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all, meaning the sexually immoral of this world or the greedy or the swindlers or the idolaters, since then you would need to just go on out of the world. But I'm writing to you not to associate anyone who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, a reviler, a drunkard, or a swindler, not to even eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? Paul's words, Holy Spirit speaking, God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. What made this really difficult is Reuben's decision to just withdraw membership and go to another place, which is very, very common in our culture across the Western Christian landscape. It is just way too common. We covenanted with that family, those believers, Reuben, Rachel, Kel, and Rashawn, to be their church family. They covenanted with us, but we as a people don't understand covenant very well. God covenanted with each of you who are believers for your life, and he will never leave you or forsake you. Can you covenant less than that with someone who sits in here with you, who worships with you, who is in your family? Or is it, well, you know, they joined another church, so that's good, isn't it? I mean, they're still doing what they're supposed to do. Yes, that's good, but it's not according to the word in this case, as has been defined enough that I think you get the picture, that it is a very hard thing to walk through. To show love in that way is tough. It is a tough love. Again, I am more than filled with joy to read this following letter to you. I don't know how long it will take me to get through it just because of my own emotions. Dear church family, I ask that you hear his repentant heart and plea for all of us to follow God's word. This was sent to me about a week and a half ago. I just returned and found it in the mail yesterday when I came home from vacation. And he respected my request. I had asked him to just have something, if he would, after our conversation, if he would have something ready for me to bring to the Lord's table on the first Sunday in August. That's next Sunday, but this couldn't wait. And he's already agreed for all of this. So I read to you what he wrote. Dear First Baptist Church of Juneau, it has been a while since we have seen a lot of you. It is strange that we live in a small town, yet we do not run into each other as frequently as times, especially since we do not see a lot of you as frequently as we used to. It is true that everything is in God's timing. We are just thankful for the times and places that he has each of us at any appointed time. We are thankful for each of you and the work that God continues to do in your life. It may come as a surprise to hear from us now after not seeing or hearing from us for a lot of you since December. For that, we apologize. We apologize because of our actions that put us in the circumstances we have been in over the past few months. We apologize for the disunity that our actions caused within the church. We apologize for leaving our responsibilities to you all within the church, our departure from the First Baptist Church of Juneau. I apologize to my family for not leading the way that I am called to lead as the man of my household. None of these actions display the love of Christ that we are called to show. We take accountability for our actions and apologize for everything. My family and I are learning a lot from this. We hope that everyone is learning alongside us as well. We are learning how much impact an action can have in the family of the church. What may seem like something small can have such a huge impact. Not only are our actions bigger than they may seem, but there is also the ripple effect that flows into the lives of those around us, the ones we love. We are sorry for the hurt that we have caused many of you. We hope that you can find it in your hearts to forgive us. Not that we feel that we are worthy of forgiveness, but because we love all of you. It hurts knowing that we have caused hurt to those we love. It hurts that many hearts are burdened because of our actions. We hope and pray that this letter will help in that healing process. We hope and pray that this letter will show our love to each of you and to those who were directly and indirectly affected. As I had mentioned, my family and I are learning how much impact a negative action can have in the family of the church. On the flip side, and as a word of encouragement, we are also learning that the same can be said with positive actions one can make in the family of the church. Regardless of how small we may think an individual action is, that action can have a huge positive impact in the lives around us. We are learning that we need to strive to make a positive impact, regardless of how big or small we may think our actions may be. Christ will use that action. My family and I are learning more and more each day why it is so important to strive to make positive impacts in the church, in the life of the church, to strive for unity within the church. As a family that has gone through the results of our negative actions, we pray that none of you will make the same mistakes that we did. I pray that none of the men of the families will make the same mistakes as I made in leading my family. I failed, and I am sorry. As a family, we are sorry. I preach to myself to be reminded, quote, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Some final words of encouragement to you all is that through all of this, my family and I are reminded that God redeems and He restores. Despite our failures, God has led us to where we are currently, and we strive to continue serving Him faithfully. We have seen Him still at work in our family and in the lives of others. Of the many things that we have witnessed, God continues to do in our lives and the lives of those around us, we share with you that our youngest daughter, Mimi, received Christ into her life. Mimi repented of her sins, was baptized, and now proudly walks through life as a child of God. We are reminded that even in our failures, God is working. God is faithful to forgive, to redeem, and to restore what we break in our lives. My family and I are reminded that while we're here on earth, we all continue to have flesh that dwells in us. It is no longer our master, but it remains, and mistakes will happen. That is why Philippians 1:6 says, he who started a good work in you will bring it to completion on the return of Christ Jesus. He's still doing a work in us, and when we do make mistakes, we need to repent, strive to make those make right those mistakes, learn, and continue walking in the Spirit. We are not to dwell in the past, but to keep moving forward with our sights on Jesus. We encourage you all to continue walking in the Spirit. When you make mistakes, remember God is faithful to forgive. He redeems and restores. You are never too far gone, and there is not a sin that He will not forgive. Amen. It may seem like it is impossible for redemption when going through trials. These are trials that may or may not have been the result of your mistakes. Regardless, we urge you to continue walking with Him in His Spirit. He will get you through anything. It is only God who can. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. He loves you and He always will. Please know that our family does love each one of you. We do remember you all in our prayers. We pray that God would continue using each one of us at the appointed time and place that He has for us. that God would continue using my family and I, and that he would continue using you to continue serving him faithfully at First Baptist Church of Juneau and wherever he might lead you, that God would continue equipping us, each of us, for the good work that he is most worthy of, for the love of God and the love of others. We thank you all for the work God did and continues to do through you in all of our lives. Thank God for the Sunday school teachers, for the prayer meetings, for all the discipling. Thank God for every opportunity provided to my family and I to grow and to serve the King locally and even outside of Juneau. Thank God for all the moving parts within the church. All together, you make up the body of the church, and when working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love, Ephesians 4:16. Thank you for building us up in love and for building the church up in love. We pray that God would help you all in continuing to build one another up in love, to continue building up the church in love and in truth. God allowed First Baptist Church of Juneau to play a role amongst many other moving parts in saving me, Rachel, Rashawn, Kel, and now Mimi. Thank you for the seeds that each of you planted in our lives. We are forever grateful. We will remember you in all of our prayers. We hope and pray that healing will come from the hurt that we have caused you all. Thank you all for your love, the love that only Christ can provide. We encourage you all to continue sharing that love with one another and to others outside the church as we strive to do the same. Love always, the Lumbops. I say to you, church, the local church is an integral and necessary part of God's plan for the sanctification of true believers. Local body of believers. Membership in such is an important thing. You know that I preach a lot on that, but I believe I can stand firmly on the word of God. It's not just a list of names. It's souls that I am responsible for in this local body. It's souls that your hopefully future elders, as we change into that polity structure in the future, will be responsible for before the very throne of God. Did we lead you correctly? Or did we just say, well, do what the world does? The world church hops. And I mean that. Because those who do that, I'm not so sure they understand what Christianity is. I'm not so sure that they're even a believer. And I'm not just saying that Reuben wasn't church hopping. That was a different thing. What I'm comparing that to is people who continually have a problem someplace, move to another place. And I think probably everybody in here that's old enough to know has witnessed that. And we cannot do that. And we must learn what it means to be a family of God. And we have a long ways to go to learn that. As a family of God, we have our problems. And every one of us are included in those problems. And we must learn to do church together as God intends it. And not one of us understands that in its totality. But I know one who does. Our God knows. But I know that we cannot treat church as anything different than what God has said it is. It is a gathering, a weekly gathering, if not more often than weekly, but each during the week, maybe more than one meeting. Gathered together, the church prays together, it worships together, it reads the Word of God together, it seeks the Holy Spirit together. Our culture doesn't lead lives like that. Leads us to cocoon, get away, go home, stash ourselves on the couch, be cliquish with one family maybe, but not those people. We don't get along with that. But God says we've got to learn the broad picture, the broad stroke. We need to fellowship with people that aren't our kind, not our color. Don't do things our way. Acting upon God's word is so important. But I can stand before you today, as I've already said, and encourage you to engage the Lumbob family in whatever ways you possibly can. Get a hold of them and tell them that you received their letter. Tell them. Hang out with them. Do everything you can. I could not advise that in the condition we were in. I just tell you one more time. If any of you thought that was made up on my behalf or the leaders of the church, it wasn't, because I sat in this office 3 weeks ago with him and God arranged the circumstances. And he said, Pastor, and I'm not even his pastor, but I understand people using the word. He's a new pastor now, but he can't get away from calling me that. It's been so long. And he just said to me that. He said, this has been troubling me. I know it's not right. And I think he's made it right. I believe that. And I believe it from the bottom of my heart, and want to be around him some more if I can. But also understand that he's made another decision that he needs to live with, and he wants to do that. And that's their prerogative. And so this was never about trying to bring them back here. That's not what it was. It was just trying to help them see that that was a serious offense in the eyes of God by not showing your brothers and sisters that everything is well now. As well as we know it on this side of glory, right? Everything is well. We are responsible to act upon God's word when we're made aware of it by the Holy Spirit. So in a world of decreasing Bible knowledge, even within the church, we are even more challenged to be good Bereans, to check out what the word says and be obedient to it. Do we know the Bible as well as we think? Absolutely not. But we have full access 24/7 to the one who does, to the one whose words it is. They are full access to the Holy Spirit to guide us in God's truth. And I would just say, as tough as these past few months have been, especially for some of you, thank you for being the church. In commending you just for following what you have been asked to do, we are the bride of Christ, and we must exhibit that to the world. That's God's design. It's not ours. We represent Christ. We represent his teachings to a lost and dying world, and they are different than the world's teachings.
Yes.
They're just different. They're holy, and the world in general is unholy. And we have work to do. We have work to do that God can do without us. But he is more than happy to see us join in on doing the work according to his way. I once, Rhonda and I lived with our younger son. We were doing a church plant in Vermont some years back. That was not an easy thing either, even in that place, but it was something that God had called us to do. And I, just being there, rubbed shoulders with some other men of good theological underpinnings, some other church guys, not a part of our mission work, but guys that I got to know. And some of those men were in a church that were actually obeying scripture and processing church discipline when necessary. We hopefully all of us know that church discipline is not what we want. We don't want to have to go through it. And the whole object of doing that is to restore someone to the fellowship. And even in this process that we just have come through, we were a part of helping restore Reuben to the general fellowship, not necessarily to this local fellowship. There were other circumstances, but this is our work. So why I'm closing with this story, the story I'm closing with is, I hadn't really been around that very much in the churches that I'd grown up in. It just seemed to have been, I never heard about anything like that. And this is typical pretty much across America. Church discipline in general has just been, it's kind of lost out. It's not practiced. Those are hard words in the scripture, as we know. But when it's necessary, it is necessary. And so I remember hearing of, and it was only hearing, I wasn't prying, but I would hear of some people in the community say, well, that church over there, speaking of the one that I knew these leaders in, that church over there is a cult. I mean, they're excommunicating people. Well, apparently they were. I didn't dig into that very much, but I just now realize the more that I need to walk through this myself to look at what's going on and to be obedient to the things that matter in Scripture, that, and I know the quality, I know the specifically the one lead elder of that church, I still know him very well. And I don't even have to ask him, but he's not leading a cult. I know him that well. And I know that that's a perception that people get when word gets around town. So if we gossip about this, I mean, it can happen, but it shouldn't, because we shouldn't need to do that. We need to tell truth in and the outside world is going to look at this as a strange thing. If you share this with people that are unbelievers, even some who are in the church, are going to look at that like, you weird. You know what? We are weird. We are a peculiar people. And I don't know that we ever will. Maybe sometimes in each of our lives, we get past that and don't really care. We say it sometimes. Well, I don't care what you think about me. But underneath the hood, we really do care, because we're too prone to please people instead of pleasing God. That's part of the sin nature. Praise God for his salvation. Praise God for his work in each of you. Praise God in his work in this room, even this day. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share what I've had to share, what I've needed to share, what I wanted to share. Oh, glorious day. Thank you for Reuben and his family. It's definitely written from the heart, written to his family, written to us, this church family. And now, Lord, as he is a part of another fellowship in town, we pray for their well-being too. The well-being of that family and the support of that ministry in that other church. We pray for the word to go forth in its truth and all of its strangeness that causes men to stumble. There's a rock of offense, this rock on which we stand. This rock is not Peter. This rock is not the belief of Peter. This rock is Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of our foundation in you, God. We praise you. We thank you, and we ask for your Holy Spirit conviction to be upon us throughout today and into this week. Help us, Lord, to proclaim your true love. It comes with all these other things. It is true love from a holy God. In your name we pray, amen.